With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
I can't hardly hear you, brother. I feel bad. Rambling really bad, Mo. He's really dying out, boy. No, I can't hear you. Can't hear you, brother. You sound real muffled.
Greetings to the Dr. Arlene Bailey Show, and we're getting ready to go into some information. I'm trying to connect with these boys here. I'm having some problems, so just bear with us as we go through these technical difficulties. Hold on. All right, peace. Can y'all hear me now? Hopefully y'all can.
Loud and clear,
bro. Right, bro. All right. Much better. Much better. All right. Bear with me as I pull up these boys.
All right. All right.
How you doing tonight, Brother L, my co-host?
Very well. Very well, boy. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent.
All right. Wonderful.
Brother L, was y'all able to hear the music?
I didn't hear any music. I heard the music, maybe
music?
A little bit, and it cut off. All I heard a lot of muffled sounds, and I heard you punching keys a lot, working
right.
Doing a lot of work. It sounded like what you were doing, moving around a lot.
Right.
But that was all I heard.
Hmm.
Hmm. Everything else was drowning out, you know.
Right.
So you still has a small tint of it, kind of a drowning sound, a muffled sound, but not too bad. I can hear you, though.
Right.
I can kind of hear you loud and clear now, though.
You hear me loud and clear now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. That's good. That's good.
All right. So what we got tonight?
We have brother Yuya. And who's coming on tonight?
All right.
He's also known as Brother Heru. He's an initiate priest in the Nigerian Orisha traditions and the Ifa priestly order. He is also the chief priest and temple head of Ano Nation, where he initiates students into the Orisha traditions. The Sahulu House Spiritual Center is the name of his school, and he is also the author of Grasping the Roots of Divine Power, Solutions for Dysfunctional Family Relationships.
Oh,
all right,
beautiful.
So that's,
okay.
That's going to be pretty deep. That's going to be pretty deep tonight.
All right.
All right, we have Brother Booyah on? Brother, are you
yes.
here?
I'm here, brothers. Good evening.
Good evening, brother.
All right, all right. Thank you for being here, brother. Appreciate you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, we're going to get into a lot of information. I've read your bio, and it's pretty deep. And so we're going to go into, I guess, the Ifa traditions. How would you break that information down specifically as far as African religion, how Ifa plays into that? And, of course, I'm pretty sure you've read Wayne Chandler's book,
mm-hmm.
Ancient Future.
Ancient Future,
in which
sure.
he speaks about how the Ifa system was taken into the Orient, known as China and Japan, in which that formed the I Ching principle system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In which that it later became. So let's go into that information, and for the audience, you know, tell who you are, and if there's anything in which that I missed, you know, definitely go deeper, brother.
All right, beautiful. First, of course, you know, I want to give appreciation for you having me and for all of your listeners who tuned in to give me an opportunity to share this information with you all. So I thank you for that. In terms of background and my history in this, like many others, I'm just one who has been called to esoteric information, occult information, and I found the Nigerian system of Orisha study and Ifa to be more intuitive for me. I've been doing this for over 20 years, about 22 years, and just different systems, going through various systems and learning and studying and working with people and going through initiation and so forth and so on. Ultimately, though, this is just what was most intuitive for me. I love many other traditional systems, Sangoma, as well as especially the Congolese system. As you probably know and your listeners know, the more you study and the more you dig, the more common strings and commonalities you find between systems. So I've exactly. fallen in love with this one, you know, with the Eastern Ifa, but I love all African indigenous tradition. I love all global indigenous tradition. So tonight I'd like to share maybe just a little information that hopefully will help people to tie in what Orisha are and what Ifa is with maybe what they're already studying. So they'll have a little bit of, you know, a little extra twist now to add to the work that they're already doing, or maybe the thinking that they're already doing, just by giving it a different perspective. I want to address you asked about how does Ifa play into African religions. Well, firstly, Ifa, the word Ifa, it means to scratch or engrave or to impress upon. And what that basically means is Ifa means to go beneath the surface. Okay, so as most people who are listening, if you're one of those people who just think value and don't really try to digest them or synthesize them or find out the spiritual subcontext to that physical manifestation, then you would not necessarily be dealing with Ifa. Ifa deals with understanding the spiritual or the soulful or the divine subcontext of everything that we experience in our physical and mundane reality. That is Ifa. Now, of course, we're told a lot of other things about Ifa as well as Orisha, but it's important to understand that these traditions have been invaded by folks who didn't understand them, wasn't trying to understand them. So once that invasion occurred, there was a lot of assimilation of external alien information and dogma and doctrine that invaded and now, you know, kind of perverted the language a bit and perverted the concepts a bit. So mm-hmm. there's nothing spooky about it. At the end of the day, Ifa deals with the mathematics of the cosmos, okay? And that mathematics, we know, it expresses itself through something that we call Odu, which is spelled O-D-U, Odu. And Odu actually means womb, just like a woman's womb. That's what Odu means. In the Ifa system, we have 256 Odus. Okay, and these are like, they're not necessarily scriptures, but they're primal energies. Okay, these 256 Odus come from a combination of the primary 16 Odu, which we call the Odu Ifa. Okay, and these were the primordial energies that showed up on the earth to begin to create womb points around the cosmos. So these are entry points in which you can walk through to create or to leave any fathomable reality. Okay, and 256, and there's stories associated with them, rituals associated with them, songs, so forth and so on, with each one. So now, based on those particular Odu, you know, the Odu speak about the sciences, the knowledge, the calculations of Ifa. Now, if you were to look at an Odu, almost like a binary writing, because it uses combinations of light and dark. So you may have the Odu such as Obe, O-G-B-E, Obe. That's the first Odu, that's number one. And that's written with four lines, four vertical lines, right? And when you have one single vertical line, it represents light. When you have two vertical lines, it represents dark, okay? And the combination, the different combination of light and dark give rise to realities, okay? So touching on Brother Chandler's work, when he spoke about the I Ching associating itself or being a child of the Odu Ifa, that's absolutely correct. There are certain Odu, you know, in the I Ching, we have primary eight hexagram. And, you know, for instance, we have Ogbe, just like I said. And Ogbe associates itself with the hexagram known as Qian, and that's heaven. Okay, that's number one, because everything comes from the subcontext of heaven. That's where everything begins, or what we like to call, refer to as the fifth dimension. Okay, that's the subcontext of everything here on IA, or Earth. Okay, and then you have even like Erosun, which associates itself with the hexagram Sun, which is wind. We have Ofun, which associates itself with Khan, which is water. Ed, which is mountain. Oyeku, which is Kun, the earth. Owomi, which is Chin, thunder. Oshe, which is Li, fire. Iwori, which is Tui, the valley. Okay, so those are the associations with the primary Ifa, Odu, connecting them to those different I Ching. And as you know, the I Ching, same thing. You have light lines, or you have solid lines, and then you have broken lines. The solid lines represent masculinity or light. The broken lines represent femininity or receptivity. So that's how those associate themselves with one another. When you're dealing with Ifa, you're dealing also with the words of Orumila. Orumila. Okay, now Orumila, Orun means heaven, and Ila, or Ila, means diviner. Okay, so Orumila is the diviner of heaven. And what that basically means is Orumila is the one who offers us the direct testimony and the direct words from a system who we call, one of the names of the Supreme Being, being Olodumare. Okay. Now, important in that, when you hear the name Olodumare, you hear Olodumare. Okay. Ol means owner, or O means owner. And Odu, again, means womb. Mare means serpent. So Olodumare is the owner of the serpent's womb. So you know, when we're dealing with serpents, we're dealing with Kundalini, we're dealing with DNA, right. You know, we're dealing with evolution. Yeah. So Olodumare represents that first premier starting point of the next step of evolution. That's what Olodumare very similar to, if we take it to the Kemetic, we have Atum, Atumare, okay? And Atumare deals with the atomic beginnings. Same thing. Atumare, Olodumare, it's the same. Okay, so again, Orumila brings us the words, the testimony, the guidance from Oludumare. And Orumila
is similar to Tahuti or Gibral in the biblical
Orumila,
way.
That's right. Orumila is Tahuti.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Orumila is Tahuti. Orumila is Moses. Orumila is John Henry Clark. Okay,
that's right.
Chuck D is Orumila. These were people who brought the law to us. Orumila represents the law bringers. It's like when Public Enemy came, we had on stage Eshu and Orumila, or Ilegba and Orumila. We had Flavor Flav. He was the door opener. He's the one that pulled us in, that said, oh, wow, this looks cool. I want to wear a clock. I want to, you know. And then right behind him, door open, came Moses, or the law bringer, or Orumila, or Tahuti, incarnated as Chuck D. Okay, so same science, you know. So that's how, you know, Orumila and Ifa and the E-King, you know, how they kind of all associate with each other. It's important to know, too, a common misconception that Orumila is not an Orisha. Okay, it's typically taught that you have Oludumare and then everything else is Orisha. And that's not actually correct.
Right.
You have Oludumare, or who we call also Eledumare or Odumare. There's many names we use. Olojo Oni, you know. There are direct emanations straight from Oludumare, just like how you have in the Kabbalic system, you have Chokma and Bina. You have those higher Sephiroth. Well, in those higher Sephiroth, or in those higher realms, we have Orumila, Odupa, and Obatala. These three are not actually Orisha. Orumila represents all-knowing. Oduduwa represents omnipotency. And again, you hear that word, Odu. Oduduwa means the womb of the black woman. That's what it means literally, the womb of the black woman, Oduduwa. Okay, and it represents omnipotency. Then you have Obatala. Oba means king. Tala means white cloth. So Obatala is the king of the white cloth. Not to be mistaken, there's a book out by a fellow by the name of Philip Nemar. I usually don't call him out by name, but I'm going to call him out by name this time. He purports that Obatala means king of the white skin. Okay, this is completely a lie.
A lie.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, I can't say it any better than that. Obatala is king of the white cloth, and he represents omnipresence, because that white cloth is that prism, that fabric that holds all of existence together. Okay? And these three individuals or emanations are not Orisha. The Orisha come underneath them. Okay? So that's the tie-in for that, brother. If you want, I could go into more. I could explain the Orisha, what Orisha actually are, as opposed to those.
Yes, definitely explain the Orisha, since we, like you said, the three are symbolic to the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, which of course symbolizes, you know, the higher powers, or you know, the three higher chakras, or the bodies in which that survive death, like the Aku, the Ba, and the Ka.
The all-knowing, the all-powerful, the all-present.
Right, definitely explain to us the Orishas and their role and their function, you know, from the three.
Okay, cool. All right, so again, we have the three, right? And those are direct emanations of Oludumare. And then the way Oludumare is not the first deity. Oludumare, very similar to Kether in our Kabbalah, is the first attempt to define oneself, the crown. Okay, and then above that, we know we have Ein. Okay, Ein represents that triple stage darkness, Ein Sof, or so it's that other entity. So when Oludumare came forth and was created, Oludumare created various streams of consciousness. Okay, one of the consciousness that were created was called Ori, which is spelled O-R-I, Ori. And then we also had Orisha. Okay, Now, I'm gonna get to Orisha. I just want to do it in order. So Orisha is a spark from Olodumare. It's just like in the Bible when it says God breathed into man and man became a living soul. Okay, we have a word in Yoruba for that, and that's called Emi, E-M-I, Emi, similar to the Kemetic Shu. Emi is divine breath, okay? And if you don't have Emi, you don't have a soul. It doesn't mean that you can't be created. You can be created, and you can look like someone with Emi, but if you don't have Emi, there's no Ori, or there's no soul. The Ori is synonymous with the soul. Okay, now the way it works in this tradition, you have the Ori, but the Ori has no character. The Ori has no personality. So because of that, in a sense, it has limited potentiality. Okay, the Ori is just straight will, and it connects you with your human character to your divine will. Okay, it's just straight force, like just lightning. But it has no flavor to it, basically. It has no style.
Right.
Now, so that's why we need, here comes the Orisha. The Orisha exists beneath the Ori. Orisha, and I should say this, Ori, the word itself means head. Okay, it means head.
Right.
And you have different kinds of Ori. You have the Ori Ode. Ode means outer, that's the outer head. You have the Ori Inu, which is the inner head, that's your consciousness. The Ori Ipako, which is the connection to your Egun or your ancestors. The Ori Atari, which is that chain link that connects you to your higher self, which is your Ori Iponri. You have your Ori Ara, which represents the condensed matter of your physical body. You know, so there's different forms of how the Ori expresses itself. Get to the car.
Right.
Now,
which is all forms of consciousness.
Right. Exactly. It's a piece and it's a chunk of that supreme consciousness. It's what makes you the deity. Okay. Yeah. So now, underneath that, the Ori says, "Okay, I have will, I have drive, but I'm not acclimated to planet Earth. I'm not acclimated to the elements on this planet. I'm like a bull in a china shop. I just got all this force and drive, but I don't really know how to work it here." So this is where the Orisha come in. Now, Ori, again, means head or consciousness, and Sha means selected or seated, okay? So when you have Orisha, it means the consciousness that is selected. So you basically, you look at your Orisha almost like a menu. You say, okay, well, look.
Right.
I got all this force, I got all this power, but I need to attract people to me. I need to attract the energy of congregation. I need Oshun. Oshun brings things together, okay, but she has a certain way that she does it, which I don't really know how because I'm just straight force. So the Ori selects and propels Oshun, the Oshun energy that exists within you, okay, in order to get something done. So I'll explain what each Orisha is. Well, just the seven major ones that we deal with in the diaspora. So it kind of makes more sense as I'm relating it to Ori. You have, for instance, Oshun, right? Now, again, always remember, anytime you have the letter O or O-L, it signifies ownership. It means owner of. So the Shun is the actual piece. Shun means to sing, okay? So Shun is the owner of singing, okay? Now, this relates us to our paradigm. We're dealing with the making salat, okay? Which is really when we are praying to find God, you're singing into your heart, okay? And you're invigorating that heart chakra, okay? That's the energy of Oshun. Oshun is the congregative energy of the cosmos. Oshun is the energy that pulls things together. It's that dark matter that holds things together. That's Oshun. Okay, and then you have, let's say, Ogun, right? And Ogun is the acidic force of the cosmos. Ogun represents acid. Okay, Ogun breaks things down. He's an analyst. He breaks things down. And what I'm really giving here, you know, as a side note, is more of the exacting definition of these Orisha. Most of the time when you try to look them up, gets real cartoonish. You know, it's like they represent like they're superheroes or cartoon characters. And you don't really get the real formula, the mathematics of what they represent, what they're supposed to be used for. Okay, so I'm going to hit more of that. You know, if you want, like, the cartoon part, that's, you could Google that, you know, for anyone who's listening. You know, you'll see pictures of Shun, and she's pretty. She's got a mirror in her hand, and she's playing with her hair and stuff. But all that represents, she represents the joining of forces. So Shun is responsible for nationalism and tribalism. That's Shun. Because Shun joins people together and say, hey, let's all join. Let's be this. Let's be proud because we're this. That's Oshun. So you have Ogun, who he recycles and breaks things down. He's a master economist. Okay, that's why he's represented by the machetes and the wood. And, you know, he's cutting new paths and new trails because he's constantly breaking things down. He's acid. Okay, now, again, we see that letter O. O represents ownership. The word Ogun here means herbs. So Ogun is the owner of herbs. And herbs represents vitality. Ogun is the owner of life, vitality. Why? Because Ogun is an Orisha that's over your blood. Okay, he's called the first warrior of blood. All right? And also Ogun is iron, which we call Irin. Okay, these are the things that represent the vitality of life, of the planet even. Okay? So we have Ogun. Then we have like Shango, right? And Shango represents circumspection. He's the energy of circumspection. His colors, very similar. We have Ogun, whose color is red, traditionally. And then, like, in the New World, they made him green, which represented agriculture and money and things. But he's actually red. And we'll get into why he's red in a bit. But we have Shango. Now, red, just so you know, red represents Ashe. When Ashe activates, turns red. Okay? Mm. And Ashe is power. It's assimilated with chi or prana. It's power.
That's right.
And when it turns on, it turns red. When it's in its receptive mode, or when it's what we call Odu, which is the opposite, it's black. So Odu is black. Ashe is red. Okay? So now we have Ogun. He's straight red. That's why he represents all that aggression and virility, because that's just straight Ashe, straight power. Okay? He would be similar to a 50 Cent or a Suge Knight, Mike Tyson, who even used to call himself the God of War, you know, or Iron Mike. These are incarnations of that Ogun energy. Okay? Then we have, like I said, Shango. Now, Shango's colors are red and white. Okay? So you have a combination here. The white in Yoruba culture we call Fun Fun, F-U-N. And it represents coolness, meditative, but again, it's a white. So we have Shango, we actually have a combination when Ogun and Oshun, they give rise to Shango. Okay? And Shango is circumspection. That's the energy that he represents, just like Heru. Okay, it's that hawk. It's that ability to see things, see everything at one time. Okay, that's Shango. Now, he has the red of activated Ashe, but then he has the white coolness of Obatala. That's why when you talk about Shango, well, he's the king. Even though Ogun is his older brother, he made Shango him because Ogun just doesn't stop. Where Shango knows to go, go stop. He's actually more involved. Okay. Then we have Eshu, right? Eshu is, again, his colors would be red and black. Okay, again, it goes back to what we were talking about before. The red is activated or Ashe. The is the deepness of the womb, the Odu. Okay? And Eshu represents segregation. Okay? Eshu is intellectual capacity. back to our Kabbalah, he was the Sephiroth Hod, H-O-D, Hod, Eshu, Relegba. Now, Eshu represents intellectual capacity and segregation. He separates things. This goes here, that goes there. Okay? So Eshu is responsible for species. Okay? That's Eshu. He's the one who created different species. Now, of course, we're told that Eshu is the crossroads and he's opportunity, you know, when we hear about Elegba. Elegba comes from the Yoruba word Elegbara, Elegbara, and that means a person of great power. Okay, and then, of course, when it came here, you know, things change over time. It became Elegba, then Legba. You know, when you hear, like, Robert Johnson singing down in the Delta, they sing about Legba, made a deal with the devil at the crossroads, Legba.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is Eshu. Eshu is Ganesha, okay, same energy. Eshu is Loki. Eshu is Pan, okay. Eshu is Lucifer and Jesus, or I should say the Christ. Again, if you even look at the word Jesus and you take the J off the front, the S off the back, you have the word Eshu. Okay, so that is the energy of Eshu. He's the segregative force that says either you go here or you go there, but you're going to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now he also is called Onibode, and Onibode means the gatekeeper. A perfect representation of Eshu is in the movie Thor. When you look at the character that Idris Elba played of Heimdall, Heimdall was Eshu. He was that Onibode. No one can come through here but by me. Similar to Jesus, no one coming to the Father but by me. I'm the truth, the way, and the life. Okay, that is that Eshu energy. Now we also have Oya, which a lot of people hear about. Oya, right? And the word Oya means she tears or she tore it. Okay, so it means it in both senses. Tear, as in to cry, because she represents compassion, but it also represents the ripping of things. Okay, now interesting enough, if anyone's familiar with like the Buddhist paradigm or the Hindu paradigm, Oya is also Kuan Yin and Tara. Tara means tears. Same thing.
Right.
Okay, now we know that Oya is the energy, she represents the supplanting of power. Okay,
right.
So, you know, we all
get the word.
Mm-hmm.
That's also where we get the word. Remember, the humans, based on the Kemetic traditions, Ra, cried his tears in which they have formed human beings into existence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the word for that was, yeah, it was Mithram, you know, which is the children of the light. Yeah,
right.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything is everything.
That's where the Europeans got a lot of the gods of thunder, the gods of rain.
That's right.
With energies. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, Jehovah comes from Oya. Jehovah,
right.
And Oya, when they were speaking to Jehovah, they were actually speaking to a carnation of Oya. Okay, that's why Moses would go up into the cloud to see the cloud, and God would speak through a storm cloud. That was Oya coming at that time. Okay, so Oya, I guess, is the planting of power. If we look at it from the hurricanes or tornadoes, the tornado picks up something and moves it somewhere else. It doesn't necessarily totally destroy it. It can, but it usually moves it. Okay, so Oya represents like inheritances, going into a job, taking somebody's job, you know, stuff like that. That's all Oya's work. Okay, and then of course we know we have Yemoja, or her full name would be Yeye Omo Eja. Yeye means mother, Omo means child, Eja means fish. Okay, so we know when we're dealing with Yemoja, we're dealing with the Piscean energy, the Vesica Pisces. Okay, that's Yemoja. Okay, but also Yemoja represents instantaneous healing. She sustains the concept of instantaneous healing on the planet. Her colors being blue and white or blue and silver. Okay, she's actually the complement of Shango. Okay, she's actually a complement of Shango. But again, Yeye Omo Eja, Yemoja. We more closely related, if we go in Kemetic, to Nut, the darkness of the night sky sustaining the stars. Now, we know, again, from Aleister Crowley you know, that we're all stars. Okay, so we're stars that are suspended in the night sky. Yemoja is the water that suspends the fish in the water. Okay, the same thing. All right, so these are just some of the basics. And like I already, you know, told you, Obatala or Rumila. We have Ochosi, who represents astral travel. You know, but these are the actual formulas that we can tap into, known as Orisha. So now what happens is, going back to that energy of Ori. So Ori says, based on what I need to get done, I'm going to select these different consciousness to get it done. But the key is, we always have to understand that because we have Ori inside of us, and Orisha are subject to Ori because they're tools that are used by Ori, just worship the tool. That's like going and worshiping a screwdriver. But you have to know when to use a screwdriver, when to use a hammer, when to use a hacksaw. They have different purposes and different reasons, and sometimes you can even combine tools for different results. But if you combine the wrong tools, you might cut yourself. Okay? So that's where a lot of that spookism comes with Orisha. Oh, don't put your oil next to Oshun and fight. And don't put this... that doesn't even exist. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's just certain things happen when certain formulas come together. If you put Yemoja together with Ogun, you get rust. Because you're putting salt water with iron. So it rusted. But there's nothing wrong with that, because rust represents life. So you just got to know what to do with the rust now. Because rust also represents blood. And that's something to know too. Whenever people are doing rituals and you want to get iron spikes, anything like that, the more rust it has on it, the better. It's been oxidized. That means it has life on it. Okay, so that's how the Orisha relate themselves to the Ori. And then, of course, after that, you have another string, which are called the Egun. And the Egun are our ancestors. I can get into that if you want, or we can, you know. Definitely, I'll give some space.
No, definitely get into that, too. Please get into that. Then we'll go to a commercial. You know, then we'll come right back with some question and answers. But go ahead, brother.
All right, cool. So we have what's called the Egun. And Egun is spelled E-G-U-N, okay? And the Egun are your ancestral energies. Now, it's something really important to understand about Egun. And the word Egun means bone. Okay, it means bone. So when we're dealing with the Egun, we got to understand that why we know it's they use the word Egun, knowing that it means bone, is because blood is created in the bone marrow. Okay, so when you're serving your Egun or giving offering to your Egun, in fact, symbolically, metaphysically, and metaphorically, you're giving offering to your own blood. Okay, your Egun live inside of your blood. That is the secret that our ancestors tell us when they need that, so that you understand where we're currently residing at. We're not residing in the realm, the ancestor realm, but it's sharp and bigger through your blood. That's why it's important to clean blood. Okay, the rivers of life going through your body, the rivers of blood, are actually the walkway and the trackways. Okay, so again, blood is the ego, that sustains the living of the ancestors. We have what's called and people think that the goon means like one ancestor and a goon means goon means the ancestors. And the Egungun is a society. It's a cult that was created. Just like you have the Orisha. Orisha is religion unto itself. Okay, so you have like churches of Ogun, churches of Yemoja, churches of Ochosi, blah, 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 churches of Dada, Oba. We could just go on and on and on. They all have their own different systems. And also important to understand that each Orisha has its own realm of heaven and its own realm of hell. Each Orisha is a realm unto itself. So, for instance, you have Ogun. Ogun's heaven would be expansion, money, fortune, moving forward with vitality and virility. Ogun's hell would be constant, senseless violence, isolation, depression, you know, being taken advantage of. So there's a heaven and hell or polarity to each one of these orishas. The Egun have something similar. So we have what's called the Egungun cult. And they are priests or priestesses that reside and work just with the energy to maintain their strength and liberty. Because they're going through their own and their own, just like we're going through here. And the Egun or the ancestral realm is not necessarily the target. When we, as you know, when we leave, when we transition to space, we don't want to go to the Egun realm. We go to the Egun realm, unless we have a progeny who's still here on Earth, who's doing some heavy spiritual work, we have to come back. Our progeny who are left here, we're in the ancestral realm. They still have us in their blood. So if they're doing some heavy work and they're raising their vibration and they're changing their awareness, they actually can take us with them, because we're in their blood. But if we leave and all left behind was a bunch of deadheads, we're going to have to come back and do it again. Okay, so the Egun realm, the ancestral realm, is not, just shouldn't be what you're aiming for. You should aim to get back home, which is what we call in this tradition the Okan. Okan means heart. Okay? And that's where your soul resides. In this tradition, it's the Okan. You have various realms. You have Aye, which is earth, Okan, the heart, Orun, heaven, and there's several other dimensions and realms. I didn't want to keep going. I know you have a commercial you need to hit too, but I can go. But
you know, you got 8 minutes, brother. You can definitely go, but hold on. Let's go to it then.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come right back.
All right.
American flag, laying on the cabinet, just spreading the word.
missiles are bombed. But what about the witchcraft that's tearing the yard? The climate changing, the media forgot to mention. It's a coincidence we headed to the first dimension. Say and let my words carry you far. But there's a way right back to the start.
Back to stones. Definitely continue, and we're going to go to the phone lines. But I know there was another aspect that you wanted to break down before we go to phone. So please continue.
Okay. Well, right before we broke, we were speaking about just the realms of the Egun, or again the ancestors, and how the different manifestations. So far we've already got, you know, we have Ori, we have Oludumare, we have the energy behind Oludumare, we have the Ori, we have Orisha, and we have Egun. Okay, these are all different streams of cognition that come from what we like to call the Supreme Being, or Atum Mare. Okay, there was a point that's important to understand too when we're dealing with the Egun, and there's an energy or a concept that we speak about in Yoruba, in Ifa and Orisha tradition, known as Ojiji. Okay, and that's O-J-I-J-I, okay, Ojiji. And Ojiji is the coherent force of the physical body, okay? Just like early when I was speaking about the Ori, and I said we have the Ori, Ara, and the Ara is the physical body, or what we can call gross matter, energy. So the Ara, or the body, is your gross matter. And the Ojiji is more like your electromagnetic energy, okay? Ojiji lives inside of the blood, but it's really readily tapped into. Ojiji also lives within your shadow. Now, go back to our Kemetic studies, and again, when we're dealing with the shadow energy, the Ojiji is typically fire. Now, an important point to understand when we're dealing with ancestors, or sometimes when we think we're communicating with ancestors and things like that, is to understand how Ojiji dissipates and how it's strengthened. Okay, very interesting that Ojiji being like the shadow on the ground, if anybody is familiar with stories surrounding the bombing of Hiroshima, okay, there were reports that 3 days after the bombing of Hiroshima that the shadows of the buildings were still on the ground. And people, they couldn't figure out why. Okay, now obviously, as you know, when something shocks and hits the universe in such an instant like that, that it takes a moment. Just like sometimes when people transition and it's a rainstorm and you go over to the cemetery, you still see the bodies, the spirits, or the Ojiji, what we call it, floating over the body. Okay, it hasn't disconnected from the chain yet. Okay, the same thing happened in Hiroshima. That shadow power didn't disconnect from the chain of the gross matter manifestation of those buildings. Now, Ojiji is dissipated under the sun. Okay, so in sunlight, Ojiji dissipates. Also, Ojiji dissipates in front of mirrors. You put Ojiji in front of a mirror, it begins to dissipate. Garlic does the same thing to Ojiji because garlic thins out the blood, so it dissipates Ojiji. Now, if anybody has already picked up on it, I just described to you three traits of the vampire.
Okay,
that vampire energy. The vampire has no shadow on the ground. It has no reflection in the mirror, and it can't be around the garlic. Okay, so this is very similar to what the brother said earlier about these concepts being taken and rehashed and then spookified, of course.
Yeah.
A lot of times, and I just need to hit the Ojiji piece, because a lot of times when we think that we're communicating with our Egun or our ancestors, we're communicating with someone's Ojiji body that is just that needs some Ashe to manifest. Okay, blood is
so
Ashe.
Similar to a shell or a discarnated spirit. Also.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know. And then you have fake Orisha, which is similar
right.
in the same instance. And a lot of this comes from the not only just the spookification, but, you know, when things are anthropomorphized to the point that we no longer understand the divine nature of them, we only see them as humans, then we look for some type of sensual experience when connecting with them. So if we connect with the Shango or Oshuna or Ogun, we want to feel something without really understanding that these are entities that never felt anything. They didn't, you know, it's in many traditions they teach you that these were, your Orisha were ancestors that they lived such an exacting life to their character that they were transitioned and elevated to the place of ancestors. Orisha. This is actually not accurate. Now, we can make someone an Orisha, just like those Orishas were created based on our collective energy towards them, because the Orisha exist on a certain plane and then they stop. They don't exist on the soul level. Okay, it's a different thing going on. So just like you go to certain parts of the world, I know especially in Brazil, Gandhi is now an Orisha. You know, and he's giving offerings and everything, just like if he was any other being, is Gandhi. You know, now can that be? Can there something come from that? Of course, because you're feeding the OG this concept of this idea, and it's something that sits there for you to later tap into
right.
it.
Right.
It's a thought form. And that's what
right.
the Orishas mm-hmm. are. They're thought forms. So at the end of the day, what that means also is this. You don't need the Orisha. Okay?
Right.
You can use them. You can employ them. But you don't need them. You actually don't need anything but your own Ori. That's the only entity you really need to work with. That's your soul. Because every soul comes here with a mission from Oludumare.
Mm-hmm.
And Oludumare... Right. as a hookup, gave us all these different primal energies to help us climb Jacob's ladder to get back home. But you don't actually need to use them. They're just there. So even people a lot of times go to their Egun and say, well, I'm going to see if my Egun will help. Your Egun are there for one reason in terms of what they do for you. What they do for you is they relay empathetic and somatic information to Orisha. That's all they do. So when you are walking in your bedroom at night and you stub your toe on your bedpost and you pray to Oshun to make the pain go away, Oshun says, I never had a toe stub. I don't know what you're talking about. So you see your Egun to relay the information because they had their toe stub before. So what it is that they do
right,
is
they
relay. They had a physical body. They relay that sensory experience back to the Orisha. So that is really more, again, the purpose of that Egun energy. And there's different ways. When you learn how to master your Ojiji, this is where we hear reports in Nigeria, people shape-shifting.
Right.
Ojiji forms the gross matter body. So once you learn how to really master it, you can form a different gross matter body, however you decide to. And, you know, it's different ways that you can work with your OGG, deep breathing, affirmations, things like that. But that's, you know, I wanted
to
kind
of
just say that.
Have you ever heard of Simeon Toko?
No, I haven't.
It's from the tales of what is known as Fatima. The tales of Fatima,
okay.
coming from the Catholic okay. Church, in which that's from out of Angola, out of the Congo, back in the early 1900s, mid 1900s to, I think he lived from mid 1900s to 1984, but it is said and reported that he was able to project 1,000 brown angels, you know, what is known as the, similar to like the Twa. They were very muscular and dementive, you know what I'm saying? And One was able to lift up a five-ton truck with one hand. Let's talk about that, because you was talking about building the body. You know, obviously that's building also the body of light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would think that's probably part of the cool, which is the glorified light body, you know, of an individual. I mean, how do you see that?
Okay, well, again, that kind of goes to mastering that Ojiji energy. Okay,
right.
Understanding, once we understand, and this is why we're kind of really speaking about the science of Orisha, not the cartoon of Orisha. Because once you understand the science, then you start saying, you can create your own, you could do reverse engineering. Oh, this is how I was assembled. So how can I disassemble myself? Okay.
Right.
And there is an exact Odu that deals with this assemblage, and that's the Odu of Oshe, O-S-E. And Oshe deals with decompiling yourself, or just decompiling things, period. And then you have Ofun that deals with compiling, which is the last Odu. Okay, but when we're talking about decompiling, that's really beyond the pay grade of Orisha. Okay, now we're going into a place where you're going back into the Okan realm. And there were reports of things like that. Now, but here's the issue with that. There were reports of people going back into the Okan realm and coming back different. You know, I spoke to a lot of Awo. Awo is the name that we use for, like, priests or just, you know, spirit workers, people who are into the sciences. And they would talk about their grandfathers and grandmothers walking into rocks, you know, walking into the water, you know, walking into the side of cliff and just walking right through it. You see? Because they saw, it's like the Matrix. They saw the code. They saw how to decompile the code, the binary. You know, so that's absolutely possible. You know, the decompiling of reality, because your reality is orchestrated by what we call our Ori Essentiae. Now, this is Ori is also called your destiny, right? And when you come to the planet, you have a certain destiny that's orchestrated by your soul. But once you can tap back into that soul level, because there's really no time for this, you know, and what I mean by that, there's no set time to say, okay, your Ori did this, and then an hour later, you came out of your mother's womb. Okay, it doesn't really work like that. Even the creation story of the Yoruba, where it's, you know, the Orumila coming down on a chain and dropping the sand, we don't really have a time scale for this. So that tells us that this is a continuous process. So the world, the human, is continuously being formed. So if you can tap into that soul energy, you can go renegotiate the terms of your creation and say, okay, I see you started making me like this. Okay, cool. But tell you what, let's try this. Let's try a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can renegotiate it, because at the end of the day, you have Emi inside of you, the divine spark of Oludumare. All of these entities that are responsible for the evolution and the creation of gross matter and the things like we're speaking about, lifting 5-ton trucks, they are actually at your command. It's like the genie in the bottle, Aladdin, you know, rubbing, polishing that pineal or polishing that lamp, and the genie coming out and saying, hey, you know, what do you want me to do? You know, your wish is my command. The Orisha, that's exactly what they are. They are genies in the bottle. But you can go above them and say, you know what? Not only do I want to create a different perceived reality, which is dealing with, you know, what's seen, that Kether, I want to create a different subcontext reality, the subtle energy. I want to change the spirit, you know, of something and totally rearrange its molecules. And that's when you start tapping into and becoming Oludumare or Atumare, dealing with the atoms. And that's why you can lift a 5-ton truck, because you're now expressing yourself on the planet as the supreme intelligence.
Excellent, brother. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, this is one of the best breakdowns that we have had. Let me go to the 404. 404, you're on the line. Greetings.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Greetings, brother. Brother Waters here in Jacksonville, Florida. I don't have much to say. The brother has broken it down. Couldn't have been said any better. I appreciate your knowledge and your wisdom. Can you explain a little bit about the Odu of Obara Meiji for a second?
Sure, not a problem. Okay. Obara Meiji, okay, is a part of that 16 major Odu. We'll be talking about the primary Odu. And Obara means to wake up and see. Okay, now, of course, the Odu express themselves, depending on the situation, it can mean something different. And that's when you get into, you know, understanding the movement of the energy. But Obara sustains the idea of the king of lightning. Okay, in the Yoruba, we have a term, ra-ra, right? And ra-ra actually means lightning. Okay, so when you have Obara, you have Oba and you have Ra. So you have king and you have lightning. Now, if you think about what Obara means, you know, the definitive definition is to wake up and see. Wake up and see. This goes back to what Brother Aleem just mentioned about the light body. Okay, mm-hmm. We're dealing with lightning here. We're dealing with Shango. Okay, so when lightning hits, that quick flash, bow, Obara deals with that first instance of seeing what's around you, that circumspection. So whenever you see that Odu of Obara Meiji, I want you to picture yourself on a hilltop and you're in a storm and the lightning hits. And the moment that lightning hits, you see a bunch of wild animals around you and then it gets dark again. Okay, that's the energy of Obara Meiji. Also, Obara Meiji deals with the sustaining of your memory. So if you have memory issues, what you can do is, like you could take ginkgo biloba and you smash it up, right? Smash it up into a powder. And then you draw that Odu of Obara Meiji. You put it on a plate with that herb, okay? And then you affirm over it. You know, you affirm that your memory be restored, that your mind be restored, and it be tightened up. You be given back your gift of illumination that you came into the world with, and then you ingest it. You put it in some water and you ingest it over a couple of days. Okay? So that's what that Odu was dealing with.
I appreciate it. That Odu was marked for me in Oyo in Nigeria just a few days ago, and I've been kind of studying the Odu, and I really do appreciate your input on a whole nother level. On a whole nother level, brother. I really appreciate you, and may the ancestors again keep you. And just speaking of the ancestors, the question, you clarified some things about Egun. You know, through the diaspora, it's kind of been changed up. You look in Brazil, you look in Cuba, and see the Lukumi systems, and they don't do a whole lot of the Egun masquerade. And you just gave me some insight on how we should be dealing with Egun. You know, you said sometimes we think we'd be dealing with a goon, we'd be dealing a whole different level.
Pags.
You know, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So but we have to be careful. I appreciate your time and effort. And Brother Aleem and your wife, I appreciate you all again. Thank you. Have a good night.
No doubt, Brother Wayne.
Right. Peace.
No doubt,
peace.
Brother Wayne. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah, them hags, those... you know, those hags, as we say, also symbolic to familiars mentioned within the Bible. Mm-hmm. That's what the scripture refers to them as, because they compose themselves as being the ancestors.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. Let's go to area code 831. Area code 831, you're on the line.
Hi. Hey, how you doing, brothers, everybody? Bodhiwa Jenkins and Y via Cali. Awesome show. I'm blown away. I was wondering, brother, if you could break down the metaphysics behind Met Kal Fu. I believe that's the proper, I don't know, it's Egbara's like twin of the crossroads. Or
Okay, I'm not that familiar with that, brother. Could you give me a little bit more information?
Yeah, there's not a lot. I've been doing a lot of research. For some reason, I don't know how I came about it, but I've been drawn to that energy or working with that energy anyway. And from what I understand, it's Legba's twin. But he's the, I guess you could say, the shadow of Legba. He's a Petro Loa. And that's pretty much all I know.
Right.
I've been searching
okay.
All
yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're dealing with Loa. Okay. All right. Now, you know, the Loa, you're dealing with the Vodun. And the Orisha, obviously, you're dealing with well, the Orisha tradition. What that energy is, what you're dealing with, that's an energy that deals with math. That's more the intellectual aspect, okay, of
yeah.
Legba. All right, so whenever that energy comes up or that name comes up, that's dealing with mastering that balance between masculine and feminine inside your head. Now, when you see some of the images of that one, if you look closely, you're going to notice there's going to be an erect penis and breast on those
mm-hmm.
images that are drawn. Okay? Now that, so that energy, is, it deals with the science of androgyny. Okay?
Okay.
Now,
okay.
What that represents, that Legba, and it's not, that's actually not Legba's shadow. That's just a form. It's just an aspect of Legba. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What that's dealing with is not only the energies of creation, but that push and pull of time and space. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's what it's urging you to do is master time and space. Okay? That masculine energy represents the time. The feminine represents the space. And the it's the mastering of that, the mastering of time and space. Okay? So that's, again, left and right brain hemispheres. So that's what you really want to start working with. When that comes up, you got to get into some Zen meditation.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, and that's
right.
Funny because that's what I've been doing. I've been doing like a lot of trance work lately, a lot, you know, just for the fact of going into trance and learning how things feel when you're in different, you know, different levels of mind and stuff like that. But that's money right there. Okay.
Yeah. Mind magic.
It.
No problem. Everything ain't dealing with, you know, cracking open a coconut and doing
right.
Lighting some candles. You know, the brain got some stuff with it too. You know, so you wanna use your mind magic. So that's telling you that you one of the mind workers. Okay, so you
all
work
right.
That magic. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Sure, my
much
pleasure.
Much love to everybody.
Peace.
Right.
You still here?
Yeah, I'm here, brother. We going through the phone lines? Or...
Darlene?
Hello?
Oh, I think we might have lost him.
Perhaps. Oh. We'll just get back on.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the things the brother just brought up, dealing
mm-hmm.
with the Vodun and the Luau, and it's there's a lot of controversy that comes up sometimes. Over the mixing of systems, as we'll call it, you know, when you're
mm-hmm.
dealing with Vodun or even like Lukumi or Santeria, where there's, you know, you have the saints and then you have the Orisha. And it's important to always understand that Orisha are evolutionary forces. So they're supposed to change. You know, you're supposed to, you know, look at Muhammad Ali and say, oh, Shango, or Mike
mm-hmm.
Tyson and say, oh, Ogun. You know, Eartha Kitt, Oya. You know, these things are supposed to happen. You're supposed to evolve the perspective and evolve the view. You know, so it's excellent. Like, you know, the question the brother asked, he didn't even ask, you know, from a voodoo perspective. He just threw it in. And that's one of the things that we have to start doing, especially when it comes to technology. These sciences are directly linked to things like nanotechnology, you know, thermonuclear dynamics. All of these different principles were founded upon these negotiations that our ancestors made with the cosmos to understand how electricity moves, you know, how wind moves in the body when we're dealing with energies like Oya, or as some called it, Jehovah, or Storm from the X-Men. There's also a piece that I wanted to share with the brother who called and asked about Obara Miji. And I also want to share that the word Bara itself means word power. Okay? And it is said in the Yoruba tradition that bara sets Odu into action. Okay? So before you have any type of true activation of Ashe, there's an Odu. There's something. The Odu represents like a chakra point. It's like a womb to the galaxy. Mm. You know, that Odu. So you have to open it. It's like you got to know the password. You know, open sesame. You know, that type of abracadabra type stuff. You know, now having the ability or the spiritual authority is called bara. Bara, word power. Okay, so that's something that for the brother, if that Odu came up for you, what you want to begin to start cultivating is more bara, is more word power. One of the things you want to do is as you're meditating, as you're doing your chants, you want to do it with a little guinea pepper in your mouth. They also call it alligator pepper, or it's also called grains of paradise. Okay?
All right.
And that increases your ashe as you're speaking. You know, and that's for anybody doing prayers or anything. You know, just give it a try. It's a little hot, you know, so, you know, it's not going to burn you, but just be prepared. It's a little hot.
Okay.
All right. Also, I wanted to touch upon, for those who also might have other questions about different Odus, to understand, I just want to give you kind of, I guess I thought about the basic, not meaning, but the basic direction that each Odu takes us in. And we'll just deal with the first 16, the Odu Ifa, the Meriden Logun, which is 16, the 16 Odu. Now, we know our first Odu is Obe, O-G-E, Obe. And it's said just like that, Obe. You got to stay with some conviction. Okay, when the colonialists and the invaders came over to Nigeria, what they did was they removed the hard consonants out of the language. Because those hard consonants, they mean a lot. This is a temple language when you're calling forth these different energies. And you got to work a lot harder if you're not using the right codes. Okay,
right.
But Obedin, that first and premier Odu, represents infinity, going into the infinite. And its polar complement is Oyeku, O-Y-E-K-U. And Oyeku means the science of death. And Oyeku represents the void, okay, or to go into non-existence. Okay, so you have Obe and Oyeku, and they play off of each other, and they give rise to other energies, okay? And then you have Ed, and Od represents, again, we were talking about the gross matter body, or the condensation of matter, or having molecules contract upon themselves and solidifying into something material, or the mother. This is Ed. Ed is actually represented by the image of a woman's behind, okay, which represents your foundations in life. And its opposite, or its polar opposite, would be Iwori. In Iwori, Shango exists, and Iwori represents your expansion, moving into space, into infinite empty space to expand yourself. So Ed is your contraction, Iwori is your expansion. Okay, and then when we go from there, we have like Irosun, you know, and Irosun deals with its energy. It's a strong energy, but it's letting energy flow. It's letting energy move. Very similar to water. Now, of course, if you notice, if you're soon spelled I-R-O, S-U-N, take the I-R-O and you have Oshun. Oshun is the patron of fresh water. He deals with that flow of energy, letting things flow, especially when you have obstacles. You throw a bowl into a river, the water will go around it. It's not even there. Okay, so the flowing things. And its polar complement would be Owonrin. Owonrin deals with the documentation of energy, not necessarily letting it flow, freezing it down, very similar to a flash of lightning, right? Of lightning. Right in that moment, when that lightning flashes, we just see an image, frozen in time almost, and then it goes. Okay, so Owonrin deals with the caging in, the containment of energy. And then we have Obara. Brother asked about Obara Meji. Obara deals with the desire to be. So Obara deals with finding your identity, That's why I said it means literally to wake up and see, mm-hmm. because it's like sawubona, which is the Zulu term for, you know, it's a greeting, but sawubona means I see you, as stolen from, you know, stolen in the movie The Avatar, James Cameron. That
right.
Whole, I see you. Yeah, right. That comes from sawubona. Okay, and that's that obara, meji, it means to be, or to, you know, to identify, kui chakalia. And then we have, its polar opposite would be okanran. Now, okanran, in that, you notice you have the word okan, and I told you earlier that the ori exists in a realm known as okan. That's the heart realm. And okanran means to know. So the polar complement of being is knowing. Okay, it's going into awareness. Now, it's very interesting because when you're dealing with the heart or the con, you're dealing with the heart chakra, your middle point. And it's that middle point of indifference where you say, these are the truths that I know, the brutal truths that I know. That's what Ogun actually lives in, the heart chakra. He's the brutal truth of knowing. Okay. Then, you know, you have Ogunda. Okay. And Ogunda deals with the things that we cement ourselves to in life. Ogun incarnate in that particular Odu. But it deals with your anchor points in life, okay, your set points. And its polar complement would be Osha, O-S-A. That's where Oya lives. And that deals with unlinking yourself to things, you know, taking it as it goes, kind of like a tornado. We're just going to move the wind. I go where I please, where I want. Whereas Ogun is iron, where it's like, no, you're going to stay here. You're going to anchor here. It's an anchor. I'm going to use an iron anchor. Okay? And then, you know, we're dealing with the energy of, like, Ogunda. We have Ika. Ika deals with your sustaining of your physical body. Okay? And which could also mean sickness. And then its polar complement would be Oturupon. Oturupon deals with the releasing of your physical body, desiring to live as an immaterial spirit body, desiring to move away from mother or move away from matter. That's Oturupon. Okay, we also have Otura. Otura deals with to affinitize and congregate. That's that love energy. It is said that the religion of Islam came from the chakra point of Otura, that it was born from Otura. Okay, and right. Then we have Irete. Irete deals with freeing yourself from the attachments of life, detaching from your human thought, from human reality. That's dealing with Irete. Usually people incarnated with Irete, that's people who are kind of like oddballs, you know, as we would call them, people who just kind of march to the beat of their own drum. Then you have Oshé, which deals with compiling or creating things. This deals with fire and also deals with initiation into higher societies and knowings, like initiating into hermetics will come under Oshé. And then we have Ofun, which deals with the decompiling or disrupting things, breaking them apart, and that would be the final Odu. So I just kind of wanted to share some insight for people who, you know, may have been born or had got readings under those Odus, of what they mean in their more primal and base
right.
selves, you know.
Right. Excellent. Let's go back to the phone lines. We got area code 818. Area code 818. You're on the line.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
You got it.
I'd like to thank you for bringing this very esteemed guest to our attention. And I have two questions. One is, how long have you been practicing? And number two is, how far have you been able to get and manifest the higher levels of reality into your life?
Okay. Well, I've been practicing for over 20 years, but I have to honestly say, you know, formally, but I have to honestly say I was born practicing. You know, I never really had a wake-up point. You know, like many people have, where they just have that cathartic experience and they decide to change their life around. As a child, I was doing rituals and readings. You know, it just took me a little longer because I had a little little child's brain, you know, to learn how to articulate what I was actually doing. But I've always been setting fires and seeing faces inside the fires, praying over the water and, you know, pouring it on myself and my brothers and stuff like that, you know. So I came into it with that. So I'm one of those people who messed up and had to keep coming back to the planet, you know. So I was obviously already a Babala in my last life, and I came back with that consciousness because I messed something up somewhere along the way. Okay. Now, as far as your second piece, I can say that I've been able to manifest anything that I've desired to manifest. But as I mature and I learn more things, I'm learning a more varied breadth of what I want to manifest. Okay, so there really hasn't been anything that I've not been able to do as far as things that I've wanted to do. But I don't really know what the limit is, the levels, you know, of consciousness into my reality. I don't know where that ceiling is as of yet. So I'm more kind of aimed there, more so than manifestation here. I'm more pushing all of the energy and the ashe I get, I push it back up to my higher self, my Ori Iparim, you know, as opposed to pushing it back down to me, because this is temporal, you know. So I've pretty much been able to do what I want to do, but the more I learn and the more I grow, the less I want to do, the less I want. I don't really want to hit the lottery at this point or, you know, have 500 wives. That's just not really my aim, you know.
Well, it seems to me that, and maybe you could address this, that we get so bogged down in the minutiae of life.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wonder, just to make a living and to, you know, keep a roof over our heads and food in our mouths, which are basic human survival things, that what was the purpose in us being here and then having us to the point where we're at a survival level all the time?
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, the purpose in being here is unique. You know, my purpose, you know, I might go outside of my house tonight to take my garbage out and get ran over by a truck. You know, my purpose may have been only to just tell you what I just told you. You know, so it's unique for each and every one of us. In terms of that survival and utility mode, that's typically based on what we consider our creature comforts and our needs to be. You know, you have people who have no homes and they wander, or they sleep in national parks and shacks and makeshift tents, and they're much more free, you know, than someone at the car with a full tank of gas. You know, so it really is a personal preference. It's that attachment to this reality that makes us feel that we need to have all of those things, or that sustaining and cultivating, over-cultivating and overdevelopment of that root chakra, where we're constantly impressing upon ourselves the needs of our physical environment, which it's just not, you know, that's not really the case. There's technology, and there's so many different things nowadays. Living off the grid is an option where we don't really need to be as focused on the petty aspects of utility survival. You know, you can live for free. You can grow your own food, and that frees up more time to do other things. It's more important to have money to blow than to have money to save, because if you're dealing with money, because if you got money to blow, then you got money to corrupt yourself. And you came here, part of the purpose you came here for was to be corrupted, was to be a flesh human being, and to take that experience and information and wisdom of corruption back up to Olodumare, you know. So coming here and saying, well, I do the right thing, I pay all my bills, I do this, I don't go anywhere, you're doing the wrong thing. If that was the case, you could have just stayed in the Garden of Eden if you just wanted to be a robot.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Came here to live. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be my answer to that.
Thank you very much. Good night.
You're welcome. Take care.
Good night. All right, for those that want to call in, it's 626-414-3535. That's 626-414-3535. 3535. Give us a call. Go on the phone, area code 404-404. You're on the line.
Yes, greetings to you,
greetings,
brother. I was listening to the show, and I have no idea what you're talking about, the Ogun or any of that. But it sounds like higher spiritual technologies to me. And I've been practicing higher spiritual technologies for about 15 years. You've been practicing it for about 20 years, based on what you said to one of the prior callers. And I just want to ask you, can you perform any type of supernatural powers, telekinesis, teleportation, touch healing, distant healing,
well,
or telefuture?
Well, of course. Those are things that I do on a daily. I work with a lot of different people. As far as some of the things that we would call supernatural, I don't really consider it to be supernatural. It's just me being who I am. And that goes back to, again, that Odu of Obara, being yourself. So every day I figure out ways to become more of myself. And the Ogun and the things that you were speaking about, those Orisha, what those are those are images, reflections, and blueprints to the different things that we can do, to who we are. So when you talk about long-distance healing or like even astral projection, well, the concept is taught to us through the Orisha Ochosi, who's a hunter. Okay, and then the more we learn about this particular Orisha, the more we learn about the things that we have inside of us, the things that we can do. Okay, so there's a lot of things that I do every day. Teleportation, no, I don't really have an interest in that right now. It doesn't, for what I need, it's not as relevant. But there are some other things that I do on a daily that people call miraculous that I consider to be a part of what we all can do once we learn all the different components that are inside of us and a different consciousness that we can select. You can select to be that energy that astral projects. You can select to be that energy that understands telepathy. You can select to be that healing energy of Yemoja. You can select to be these things. So we all have that potential.
So they have within what you're describing and talking about, if I want to know how to teleport, I can learn it from your school, meaning you have a step-by-step formula of how to teleport. You do this, and you will teleport.
Well, brother, no, I don't teach people how to teleport because I don't really see the relevance in it. So, you know, what I teach people is things that, you know, from my own experience, what I consider to be necessary for our own spiritual liberation. Now, if I find that that's a necessary component and I need to add that to my curriculum, then that's what I would do. But the truth is, there really is no step-by-step formula for teleportation. Some people come into the world with different gifts. Some people come into the world with that gift, okay? Some people can just look into a crystal and then put themselves somewhere else. Some people can do it by eating something. Some people can do it by smelling frankincense, okay?
Yeah.
So what I really deal with is education more so than training. If I was to teach step-by-step ways of how to do certain spiritual feats and tricks, then I would be training people, and that really is worth nothing. But what I do is I educate people to bring out those gifts that they came into the world with and to amplify and enhance those. Some of those gifts I may not even have myself. But that's the job of a good educator, coming from the Greek word edukar, meaning to bring forth. The good job of an educator is to bring forth that specialness that we all have inside of us. If it's teleportation, then I'll work with you in that. But I don't really need to give you a step-by-step. I just need to teach you how to get to your soul level and the things will be revealed to you, your own step-by-step.
Okay. Now, you know, I know you just mentioned that there is no step-by-step formula to teleportation. You know, I've been practicing this, and I've learned from different scientists and shamans, you know, from around the world, and they gave me a step-by-step formula to do, you know, distant healing, and I followed that step-by-step formula and performed it. I did the same thing for telekinesis. I've actually have demonstrated and done these things because, you know, I'm always looking to acquire more and more higher spiritual technologies, say, be it is technologies. You know, that's just where my mindset is.
What exactly do you use those things for?
Say that again?
What exactly do you use those things for, the telekinesis and the teleportation?
Okay, for example, I was walking down the street with my son, for protection example. I'm walking down the street with my son, and this big German Shepherd comes charging out. And I get in my position, I project energy at the German Shepherd, and he gets flung back without me even touching him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a purpose I use it for.
Okay. That's excellent.
You know, like self-protection, self-healing, to be protected not only physically but even spiritually against, you know, anybody trying to hurl black magic or run game on you. You know, if you protect yourself and put the protection power and chant the names of God, you're going to have the protection power around you anyway.
Yeah, see, the thing is, though, brother, we all come in at different levels, though. You know, for some of us, the dog wouldn't have even seen us because our vibration is at a level where that dog wouldn't have even known that we were there. Okay, so depending on the level that you're at, you may need a step-by-step instruction. You know, and that's there's a level. It's just like some people, when they first come into the knowledge, they have to come through the Christian church or they have to come through the mosque because they have to be put in a position first where you can have a reasonable conversation with them. They may be strung out on drugs. You know, so they need something to get them acclimated to a certain thing. So there's different steps. You know, if you look at the movie The Game of Death with Bruce Lee, you find that at the highest level, there are no steps. There is no style. Okay. And so that's really what I kind of aim at. I try to get people in that space where they develop their own style as opposed to telling them, well, this is how this is done. That's how that done. This is the name of God. Because God is an evolving being. God is coming up with new names every second, you know, that can be revealed to the individual. Now, I was saying that can be revealed to the individual.
Yeah, one thing I understand, you know, is that. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, bro.
Hello? I'm like hearing some background noise. Okay, but, you know, one thing I understand is, you know, when you get knowledge and you learn knowledge, You take it and you create with it. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. You create with it. You know, you be a creator and create with it. But definitely we need to be on the higher spiritual technologies. I see what you're talking about as a higher spiritual technology. So, you know, I just stay on that path. You know, I'll stay on the path I'm on, but you know, I don't really know much about the Ogun or anything like that, but is there a difference between saying something in one language and saying something in another language, or is the intent all that's needed?
Ultimately, it's about intent. This goes back.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were tuning in earlier in the show where we spoke about the Ori or the soul. Ultimately, your soul has its own language. It has its own syntax. And that's really what you want to aim to tap into. And again, that takes you beyond step-by-steps. That takes you beyond names. That takes you beyond language. Now, if you're coming from that place, you could just grunt and moan. And as long as your will, your directed, focused will is in place, then whatever it is that you're trying to make happen is going to happen. Okay, so there's different levels that you can come and tap into things at. If you're not coming from that place, then certainly, yes, the language that you say things in does make a difference if that's not the place that you're coming from, certainly.
Yeah, well, definitely, whatever reality that you tune yourself into, that's what's going to appear on the TV screen. So, all right, thanks for your time, bro.
All right, brother. Have a good night.
Thank you, brother. All right, we got area code 904. Area code 904, you're on the line.
Good evening, brothers.
Peace.
Greetings.
Greetings. Yes, my name is Awolaye. I'm a Muslim, bro. I've been a Muslim since about 88. I did the Nation of Islam thing, and, you know, basically, you know, what my foundation was, and I ran into Europe, but like in 96, 97. And it was, you know, it brought a lot of knowledge to me that I liked it. I liked it, the culture, so I got into it. And I received the hand of Ifa. Mm-hmm. And when I received the hand of Ifa, I received some Ikings also. And they gave me a clue of Warren O'Toole.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed, you know, I stayed into this for about 7 years. Then, you know, things weren't going like I thought it should, so I got back into Islam. But since I got back into Islam, it's been since like 2007. And it's like a longing still here in my brain, you know, just talking to me and telling me that I need to take care of something for Ifa, even though I left it alone. That's the only Ogun, Shango, Eshu, Elegba, all of that. I don't think about that too much. But the Ifa experience, it gave me my destiny. So I'm just trying to find out, brother, if you know anything about that Odu, you know, does that have anything to do with Islam? Because you said something earlier about that. And can you to the O'Toole part?
Mm-hmm. You said it the Odu was Owonrin O'Toole? Owonrin Tura?
Owonrin Tura, yes.
Right, okay. Owonrin Tura deals with breaking away from tradition and creating your own tradition. Okay, that's what that Odu represents. You have the energy of Owonrin. We were talking earlier, and we said Owonrin deals with the caging or the containing of energy. But what it deals with is kind of like saying, okay, I got this. Now what's next? You know, it's almost kind of like a graduation, but like in the same class. Okay, I got my times tables. What do we got next? Fractions. And
yeah.
O'Toole deals with peace. Okay, that's a very peaceful time, very peaceful Odu. And in that peace, in the absence of that confusion, is when religions are created. Okay, so what that Odu deals with is a person who creates their own way. So you may have to create some Ifa Islam hyphens, you know. But what it really deals with is creating a tradition and a ritualistic way that works for you. And what's going to end up happening, you should document it, by the way, because what's going to end up happening is that other people are going to want to do what you do. Okay? It's very similar to the church. And you have those church mothers who also do readings, you know, or they put your name in a book of Psalms because, you know, they want to get back at you for something. They put your name. They're really witches. And they witches sitting in the church. But they believe in Jesus and all of that. They've fallen out, shot. The whole nine, but they've established something else that complements that. So really, they created their own religion. Okay, so that Odu deals with that you cannot be so loyal to tradition. That's what that Odu was telling you. Okay, you have to learn to break away from the tradition and create your own new tradition.
Oh,
that's why you feeling a hankering like that. Okay, and that's.
Yeah. It's going back and forth. It's back and forth, you know.
Yeah, don't go back and forth. Like, don't go back to Ifa. And don't just stay with Islam. Try to find the common points between the two of them. And try to create something new. Engineer something new for yourself using both of them. But it doesn't have to be an either-or situation. Don't do that. And that's never good to do anyway. You know, don't be loyal to anybody's religion.
I never thought I can use. It feels like I don't know if I should feel hypocritical, but it feels hypocritical to do both. Either you do one or you do the other. But what you're saying to me is combine both of them.
Yeah, all of these religions and even these orishas are just expressions of a higher thought. Okay, so instance, you know, even when you're dealing with the science of Allah or the peace. You know, we hear reports and stories about that entity that existed before Allah. Okay, now some will call that the triple stage darkness. Okay, that Allah came forth from. Okay, well, we have the same type of story in our Yoruba culture with Oludumare coming forward from this darkness. You know, so commonalities that exist in each of them, you know, and that's really what you want to start working with that. I mean, you get, if you even start dealing with the 99 attributes of Allah, you know, and just start looking at the different names, you know,
yeah,
the different names of Allah, and you'll see, really, these things were used for ritual. You
yeah
know, you take one name, you say it 1,000 times over a piece of bread, and then you eat the bread. It's a ritual. You see? So,
but I got a brother that do rituals for me in the name of Allah in Islam. But he say he do it the Islam way. He's from Nigeria. But he don't do it the Yoruba way. He say he do it the Islamic way.
There's no such thing as the Yoruba way. Don't even worry about it, bro. Right. That's like saying we do something the American way. Yoruba is a
right
place, you know, and it's a language, but it's not a religion. You know,
okay,
the reality is when you go to Nigeria and you get down with cats in Nigeria, they mix everything in. It's not like over here. Over here, they present this dogma because they know that's what you want to buy. So
right,
they say, look, you want to get initiated, it's going to cost you 5 G's, $10,000, and we have to do it this way. There has to be a goat. There has to be this. I'm going to tell you this. First of all, most of those Nigerian Islamic babalawos, they don't even do animals when they get initiated. They just do that when they come over here, because you don't need to use the animals, because you're just looking for the ashe, okay? So you can get that from anywhere. You can get that from meditating, from praying, from deep breathing, doing qigong. You can get ashe. Matter of fact, Brother Aleem was one of the first, if not the first people. I heard him on a tape some years back, and he was sharing how much energy is released in ejaculation, okay? That's ashe right there.
Word.
You see? Yeah. Okay. So you know, you can get it. You get the energy from wherever you want to get it from, and you know, that's what it really boils down to. Not what name you put on it, but that man made up because they were lonely. You know, I got lonely, so I'm gonna make me a god. Don't worry about that. You know.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome, brother.
You're welcome, brother.
All
right, let's go to 713. Every code 713, you're on the line.
Peace. Yes, sir, brother. How you doing? I'm glad I caught you on this particular show. I have a question, brother, in regards to, you said you're affiliated with the IFA. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Or the Yoruba?
I study IFA. Yes, sir.
Okay, great. That's what I thought you had shared. I want to share something with you. I just recently, 2 months ago, did an initiation for two students of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And through Tanaga Dalam, an initiation to Tanaga Dalam, which is Javanese for divine power or inner power.
Mm-hmm.
And after the initiation, after the initiation period, you know, we were actually during the initiation period, we had a talk because they are two junior priests with the IFA, and he talked about his Babalawo, and he shared some things with me. But one thing that he did share was is that all the years of study with the Babalawo, and the time that it took, the process of this initiation, he said, you know, the Babalawo has not taught me this and was not able to open up my energy centers.
Mm.
Now, I have, the question is this, what method that is traditional with the IFA and the traditional religions of the continent that cultivates energy? Because what I've discovered in my training and study is that the key ingredient in making all the rituals and all the spiritual practices and all the supernatural, and supernatural just means that it's beyond the laws of nature, the common laws of nature, such as levitation, defies the law of gravity. That's supernatural. Super just means above. The question I have is, where is it that in the ether or is the energy being developed? Is there a particular practice that instructs you on how to develop the energy, you know, to remove the impurities in the, well, not, I don't want to say impurities because that takes it into another area, but I'm speaking more so of unblocking your energy centers. Is that spoken about? Is that specifically taught?
Certainly. Okay, first thing is important to understand that just because someone says they're Baba Lao doesn't mean they're Baba Lao.
No. So the individual that I trained wasn't a Baba Lao.
No, I understand that. You said that they studied with the Baba Lao. No, I understand. Right, I understand. You said they studied with the Baba Lao. What I'm saying is that, again, I have to say the same statement. Just because someone says they're Baba Lao doesn't mean that they're Baba Lao, number one. So a lot of people throw that term around because you can go to Nigeria with $1,500 sometimes or $2,000, get an Ifa initiation, come back to America and tell everybody you're a Baba Lao. But that's not, it takes a very long time to truly be a Baba Lao. For the majority of your time, you're a student of Ifa. Okay, so I just kind of want to pre-qualify my answer with that. You know, I don't want maybe that one incident to represent Ifa as a whole, because it may not, whatever that person was taught may not really represent Ifa as a whole. Number two, I also want to say this. Use whatever you can use to do whatever you need to do. It doesn't have to be Ifa. I am not a religious person, and I'm not in a religion. Okay, I have no loyalty to Nigeria or any other tradition. I could care less. I have loyalty to my life's purpose and my life mission. I have loyalty to my own soul, and that's it. So no system in no way is complete in itself. It's just like martial arts. You know, you may get into Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but, you know, three guys, you can't fight three people on the ground. You know, you may get into Wing Chun, but that's all close quarters. Now, what am I going to do for long range? So, you know, you have to combine different things. Now, in terms of developing your energy, or what we call, again, developing your ashe, there's a million and one things that we do. And that's why the initiations are staged, because when you first come in, or if you're given the right hand of a Rumila, you know, you're built up to a certain place. You're taught certain songs. You're taught certain things to eat. You're taught the science of herbs at certain times. You know, okay, this time of the day, the herbs interact with each other like this. But when the sun is at this time, it interacts like this, and this builds your ashe. Put this in your mouth and chant this. So there's deep breathing. There's all kind of different things in the Orisha tradition, the dancing, the singing, the drumming. All of these things open up these chakras, and they cultivate that kundalini energy. Again, that's why we say Eshu is the Oni Bode, the gatekeeper. He's the where you start everything at. Now, Eshu lives within the root chakra. So that's where that kundalini is coiled up at. So once you start, when you begin and you come into tradition, you do a lot of work with that Eshu. You're constantly chanting Eshu Dide, Eshu Dide, Eshu Dide. And you might be told to chant Eshu Dide 5,000 times while weaving a basket. Okay? Now, right. And that Dide means arise. Dide means to stand up. Okay?
Right.
So you're telling the snake, rise up.
Which is the same meaning within the ancient Kemetic traditions of Shu, which means to rise up.
Well, how long, let me ask you a question. How long would that take to, well, let me say this. Well, I basically want to know how long would that take with your process to open up the seven chakras, the seven major chakras? Because it sounds like it would probably take more than 21 days.
It depends on who the person is, but I think the first thing, you can't put a time on something like that. You can't say, okay, and people will say that I can open up your chakras in 3 hours. You know,
you can put a time on it.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, you I've done that repeatedly.
All right.
I've done that. You can't put a time on it if it's done properly.
That's excellent.
You know, you actually can, because you can, if you you can feel your crown chakra at the top of the head if you just pull up your anal muscles.
Mm-hmm.
You cut your urine. If you imagine you're cutting your urine off, you can feel your crown chakra right now. And if you do it multiple times, if for the insensitive, you can they will eventually be able to do it if they contract the anal muscle 10 times. You can feel, because the anal muscle is the bottom of the Tai Chi pole.
Right, but feeling something and employing something is two totally different things.
Yeah,
you know, you feel a lot of different things, but to employ it and learn how to do it at will and instantaneous is two totally different things.
Yeah, that's what I teach and that's what I have experience in.
Okay.
I've duplicated this.
And
it's scientific. It's beyond the point of belief. It can be duplicated repeatedly with multiple people.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
again,
I mean, we've actually successfully, as long as you continue to practice.
Again, like I was saying, brother, there's a million and one ways to get back to heaven. Okay.
Right, and I say this too. I have to say this because I've also done the same thing with others, in which that we've been able to do it within just 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Just pulling the muscle there is instantaneous.
Right, it's not just talking about
activation of the crown chakra.
It's not just talking about 21 days. You know, we've been able to do it within less than 2 hours, you know, with a class full of people.
When we speak about 21 days, we're talking about 21 days from the point of the human level to the point of divine level. It takes three cycles of seven. Since, you know, it takes three, you know, everything is done in three stages. Three represents completion, and seven represents God. So add that together,
that
you have a complete.
The rough technique in which that you're using in order to do or to master during those 21 days. Like, for example, you might have what is called the Kriya Yoga, which is one of the most powerful breathing meditation techniques, in which that actually can cause the Kriya
to rise. We use that as well, the Cobra breath, the dragon breath. We have those different breaths as well. This is real monastery, high-level Tibetan, like Qigong, Nagong, and Qigong that we have. And what the brother is sharing, I'm actually agreeing with.
I was taught and trained by Master Yadasir Swati. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
The thing is, again, and I'm gonna actually, and I understand both the same. I mean, answer again, it depends on the person, and we're talking about employing something on a consistent and persistent basis, or experiencing something based on your instructor bringing you through. So that's kind of check what I'm saying for a second.
It goes back to what you said too, brother Yuya. When you say that some people come back here with gifts, we know that by even studying astrology.
We're here.
Definitely find information out. You know, the gifts in which that a person brings back here. You know, so you know, some might have more gifts than others. So something might not take 21 days for one person, as it
that's
might
exactly
be for
what I'm saying.
So
exactly.
And we understand that fully what you're talking about, brother. When you're going to the phone line, we got area code 678. Area code 678, you on the line.
Yes, this is Brother Hondo Solomon calling in just to support my brother Yuya. I had another phone call I had to take, and I wasn't able to listen to the rest of the show. However, I always call in and support whatever the brother is talking about, because I know it's going to be something deep and helpful to the masses.
Peace,
so, peace to everybody else on the show.
Peace, brother.
I'm just listening in, just catching the tail end of the show. So I'm just behind the scenes right now. But again, shalom to brother Yuya, and keep up the good work, brother.
All right. Give thanks. Thank you, brother.
Give thanks.
Thank you, brother.
All right. We got area code 704. Area code 704. You're on the line.
Hello, how are y'all today?
I'm fine.
So I've been listening for like maybe the last 15 or 20 minutes, and when it comes to Orisha, I want to say a couple years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, I received my hand, and then suddenly my godmother disappears, right, within months. And so, you know, I felt really sad about that, but parts of me said, well, maybe she's taking you as far as she can take you, right? And so I didn't, you know, I didn't get really sad about it, but, you know, it was like, oh, wow. So after that, I just kind of start almost like teaching myself things. And so it didn't only it didn't move forward in Orisha to me. It moved forward into like candle magic, into crystals, into understanding herbs, into definitely meditation and dragon breath, like you were saying before, and working with my own kundalini and feeling it shift from, you know, the bottom level up to like my solar chakra here. And I can, it feels like a small earthquake at times, and it can be very sudden. So, you know, I'm learning all kinds of different things, but going back to, you know, receiving my hand that day and being giving an odu of Ogun Nimeji and just doing my own studies. But, you know, hearing you, brother, I just want to know, like, what do you think of all this?
Of all this that you're experiencing?
Yeah, all this that I'm experiencing, the fact that,
okay.
I was initiated and then, you know, took my own initiation path and have just, you know, really been learning. And then can you say anything about Ogun Nimeji?
Sure, but let me address, you know, your first part of your question.
Okay.
First off, receiving your hand of Arumila, what it does is it brings you into tradition as someone who says, okay, I believe there's something to this. It may be true, or it may be something that I venerate, in a sense.
Huh?
That whole story of being initiated and then godparents disappearing, unfortunately, is very common. Okay, people initiate you, they get your money, and then you can't find them. And there's a couple of pieces with that to keep in mind. Number one, even though I'm initiated, I actually don't really stress initiation. I'm not big on initiation at all. Because we have the wrong idea about it often, and it's sold to us like we're buying a car. Like, once you get initiated, this is going to be right. You know, you're going to get hit by a car if you don't get initiated, and all that type of foolishness. You know, the truth is, any system that you have to initiate in and to really, like, learn it, don't mess with it. You know, and that's Yoruba or anything else. The truth is, if we came up in Nigeria in certain environments, most of the stuff we would know already before any type of initiation.
Mm-hmm.
So your initiation is supposed to initiate your learning path here in the diaspora. But it's one thing you said first. You said, my godmother. Now, That's Catholic. We don't deal with godmothers. That's something that, and I know everybody says my godmother, my godfather, or my padrina, or my madrino. That's not really traditional. That's a diasporic thing that happened because of the Maafa, and families were dispersed and broken up. So now they created this concept called the Ile, which is a house, and you had a godmother and a godfather and godbrothers and godsisters. That has nothing to do with Ifa or Orisha. You don't have that in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what would have normally have happened is that you would have went into a shrine or a temple, and you would have went there for services and for different ceremonies and things, and that's how you would have learned. Okay, you wouldn't have needed a godmother, godfather. Now, you always had someone who would echo you and guide you and teach you and show you certain things. That was normal. But this whole other thing, this is some diaspora stuff, and I urge anyone listening to stay away from it, okay? I also urge anyone to stay away from anyone who's pushing to initiate you without teaching you anything first.
Right.
Okay, because then there's really no point in doing it unless you just want an experience. If you just want to see what it feels like and see if you might fall out in the spirit or the Rishon may come, you could do that. But you need to stress more education. We're different than the Nigerians old. Okay, so there's a certain interaction that we have with these energies that they didn't have until they got initiated. Okay, you have little children who have dreams about mermaids, and they have dreams about men walking around with their heads on fire. That's Shango.
Mm.
You see, so what's happening is that the this because we're evolving and all this collective work that our ancestors have been putting in for millions of years that we've been here, we're now to the point where we don't need to kill all these animals and do all these different things in order to have a conversation with a thought form that's on the astral plane. We don't have
that's
to do
right.
all of that to do that at this
that's
point
right.
because of
that's
all
right.
of that ashe that's in our blood. When we were talking about that egun, so we're coming out different now. Okay? So your focus needs to be learning before walking through somewhere blindfolded. Okay? So that's, you know, addressing the first part. Now, as far as the things that you're experiencing, now, just like the brother who called earlier who spoke about opening up the chakras,
mm-hmm.
when you get initiated, that's what happens. They bring you through a process where they open up your chakras and they imbue you with a certain amount of ashe. So now you start having more prolific dreams. You start having different types of experiences, past life, you know, regression takes place, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a normal part of what's happening. And the truth is, if you would have committed yourself to 3 months of hardcore study, you would have had the same thing happening without the initiation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's coming from somebody who is initiated and initiates people when they really want to be initiated. But as all my students know, my first thing I'll say is, no, I don't want to initiate you. Let's study.
Right.
You know, that's more honorable. And that's really more in alignment with tradition. Our ancestors didn't study all this stuff for us to have to do exactly what they had to do. That doesn't even make logical sense. You know,
leaves no room for adaptations either.
It leaves no room for adaptation, exactly. So, you know, we're in this place now where we're growing and evolving different. And like you said, well, I'm getting into the candle magic. Like I told the brother who called earlier, I'm not going to say my system is better than your system or your system is better than mine. I don't really care about all of that. If
yeah.
you are doing something that opens up your chakras, wonderful. That's great. There are many different roads to heaven. Okay,
yeah.
So now if you've determined candles and crystals are working for me, then you rock your candles and crystals. You swag off in the sunset with an armload full of candles and crystals. You do your thing to the tilt until you get tired of it, and then you make sure you go do something else and don't turn into a candle and crystal lady. When
yeah.
it's time to go now play with fire and play with tree bark and hug trees, you go do that, and you kick the candles and crystals to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that would be my word on that.
Okay.
All right. Let's go back
Thank
to the
you.
Phone line. You're welcome. Thank you. Let's go to area code 347. Area code 347. You're on the line.
Peace, that's me.
Peace.
It's me on peace. I was just listening.
All right.
I do
appreciate you listening.
Hello?
Yes, we hear.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what the brother's saying. I'm initiated in Palo, and a lot of what you're
right.
saying, it's a lot of fraud out there. It's a lot of problems.
Right.
But I do think at times it is important to get initiated.
Right.
For certain experiences, just like I hear people say, oh, it's okay to chant Nam Myoho Renge Kyo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's okay to chant Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, but then there's other things that go along with that practice. They
right.
do something known as Ganyo. Every morning they'll read the Lotus
yeah.
Sutra every morning and every evening. So
right.
for them, if you ask those Buddhist people, chanting Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, is that okay? They'll tell you no. Because chanting Nam Myoho Renge Kyo is equivalent to the water, and Ganyo is the soap that's going to clean your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm.
So sometimes things do be missing. You know, it's okay. I heard you say you may not need to do animal sacrifice. That's okay sometimes, but I still do animal sacrifice, and I don't even eat meat on a regular basis. But it's okay for me to feed my Nkisis. It's okay for me to feed certain spirits. It's okay for me to feed my ancestors.
It certainly is okay. There's nothing wrong whatsoever with animal sacrifice at all. And I advocate it, okay? And I also advocate eating the meat of the animal that you give to your Nkisis or your Lotis or your Abusom or your Orisha or your Egun. So, you know, it's not really an issue of that, but it's an issue of being sensitive to where we are today and what's needed and what may not be needed. And that's really the key here. I'm not saying that we need to strip things, but it's definitely time. Sometimes we have to reexamine. You know, well, why was this done in the past? Was it even done like this in the past? You know, and why is it? Why am I giving a chicken or why am I giving a duck? What's the difference? Or why are you telling me to give a turtle? What's the difference in a turtle or a duck? Or why do I have to give a goat now? You know, so it's important that when we start getting into things like sacrifice or we get in even to these initiations or rituals. Now, of course, we know with initiation, we're not allowed to know so much before we go into it because it is a secret thing. But especially when we're doing these atutus, these adamus, you know, these ebos, it's important for us to understand, especially those of us who are initiated, those of us who are awos and babalaos, why are we pulling from certain things? Why are we using a chicken? Why are we using a rooster? What does a rooster represent? What does a chicken represent? Okay? That rooster is that cockiness. Half the time you're being told to sacrifice a rooster, you're really being told to sacrifice your ego. Yeah. Well, we go just as arrogant as we are and egotistical, and we kill the rooster, throw it in the garbage, and we still egomaniacs. And then we wondering why next week we did a reading and the elbow came up again. We got to do another rooster, you know. So
but,
I'm not saying that shouldn't happen, but it's time for us to start examining, you know, what these Orisha energies are, what the Nkisis are, what's the relationship between the Nkisi and the Orisha. You know, what is the relationship between what I'm told to sacrifice? When you're sacrificing something, to sacrifice just means to make it sacred. Okay, so all you're doing is taking something from the mundane world, which we're at, third dimension, and you're sending it to the fifth dimension. Because things that you need to happen, they need a vehicle of travel. It goes back to that vampire thing that we were talking about earlier. Blood is a vehicle of travel. Okay, you have these thought forms, and you have these spirits, and in order for them to manifest themselves or to manifest their works into the third dimension, they need some type of vehicle to travel on. Okay, this is what even the science of melanin or draconis, known as the night traveler. Okay, we're talking about traveling. So we give the blood so that they have a vehicle to travel here. They can materialize. But the truth is, there's also ashe in what we call, as you know, your oriki, or that's your praise chant. Okay, or your affirmation. For instance, the sister also said, she said she Ogun de Meneji came up for her, which is Ogun. A wonderful chant that you could do for Ogun is Ban Ban Gandan. Okay, and I'll say it slow for those who have that, Odu. Ban Ran Gandan. Okay, and I do that, you know, for different things, but you say it fast, and you keep saying it over and over, and that's actually a Hindi chant. And if you go to certain temples, you'll hear them chanting that over and over and over. And what that actually is the sound that iron makes when you hit it with a hammer. You see? Iron. You see? So now when we do that chant, we can do the chant, or we can ask, why the heck are we doing this chant? What does it actually mean? And when that's what Ifa represents, going beneath the surface. When we go beneath the surface a little bit, we realize, this is emulating and reproducing the sound that iron makes in the cosmos. So I am becoming iron. I am becoming Ogun when I say this chant. You see? So no blood involved. You know, and I'm not saying that we don't need blood for something, but it's important to understand for many people, I'm not saying for all people, but for many people, the blood is a crutch. If you have built up your chi, your prana, your ashe to a certain level, then you do not need these things. You need to get the chicken, you need to get the goat, because you need the energy of these things to feed whatever it is you're feeding. But if you can generate that energy, And like, I'll go back to Brother Halim again.
Brother, let me ask you this, Yuya. Is that because they will begin to start feeding on your life force synergy?
Not necessarily
if
when you're dealing
have,
with...
If you do not have something in which that they can utilize as far as, like you were saying, the life travels and which that help with the manifestation.
They will feed on your energy if you send them to do something. You know, if you send me to the store but don't give me enough money, I'm going in your pocket.
You see,
because you sent me. Now, if you don't send me, I'm not going to feed on you because I'm indifferent. I already got, Ogun doesn't need my little punk chicken at the end of the day. There's enough killing and car accidents going on. Ogun's straight. You see?
Right.
So, but if I send Ogun to do something and I don't pay Ogun the money, you're going to say, look, man, you call me down here. You woke me up. I'm here. I'm taking something. So now I'm sleepy for 3 days, or I'm hungry, I'm eating all this food, or I'm horny. You know, now I'm having weird thoughts like, oh, I want to have sex in the shrine, and I don't know where it's coming from because I didn't give that energy that was necessary. So the reality is what you really want to work towards is not necessarily saving up money for animals. You want to really work towards building up your chi. You know, it's to the point that you're now generating so much ashe that your bara, your word power, is all that's needed. You don't even have to do an elaborate ritual. You just say, Ogun, take care of that. And you have so much ashe in the bank account. He's like, all right, cool, because you already got so much ashe, I don't need anything from you because your word power is strong enough that that's all I needed from you.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, brother. Appreciate that. All right, let's go back to the phone. We got area code 267. Area code 267, you're on the line.
Peace,
Goddess.
Hey.
I'm actually new to the show, and I'm new to all of this knowledge. My king introduced me, and I'm just trying to get some understanding. So what advice would you give to someone who's has no knowledge of any of this stuff, well, at least that I can recollect.
Okay.
Right. Well, what I would say first is go to our website, www.drhalimelbay.com, and go to Metaphysical Inner Religious Confusion. That particular section will help you with coming into knowledge of self as far from almost every angle dealing with metaphysics, occult, esoteric information, to religious, to which is comparative religious studies. Everything is basically embedded in there. So that's www.drhalimelbay.com. All right, so check us out. And I'm Brother Yuya.
Okay, well, I'm going to co-sign that, first of all, you know, because Brother Alim is a very good start. And probably a good finish. You'd be able to cover you for a while. But I would also say, in a very simplistic sense, start with whatever you have an interest in.
Mm-hmm.
Start right there. Let's say if you love, you know, whatever you, it could be music. If you love music, start with music. And what I mean by that is, you know, start picking music that you know invigorates your soul. That's good for you to have certain messages in it because you already know you're there. What you want to do is when you start coming into some information, you want to not necessarily look for new stuff to do. You want to look at what you're already doing and determine if maybe you're already doing something that's real deep and divine, but you didn't realize it, but it was something that was encoded into you. Okay, so if you're a singer or you like music or you like to dance or you like to have sex or whatever it is, you start looking at those things. You know, look at your name, you know. Even if you have a Western name, look at that name and start trying to determine, why was I given that name? What does that name mean? You basically want to start dissecting yourself where you're currently at before you start creating an artificial personality where you think it's supposed to be. Okay, so I would tell you that should always be your immediate start. Just freeze everything. Don't do anything new yet. You know, start looking at what you already have, what your interests already are, and let that be your entry point. if you know you like music, start grabbing some conscious music. Like, there was some music played on the break that I was actually kind of enjoying. You know, start with your conscious music, things like that, things that will start giving you positive affirmations in certain different directions. If you like artwork, start drawing different art that just comes to you. It's different, you know, whatever. These would be spiritual things, and that will start pushing you towards where you are supposed to be. But you don't want to negate who you currently are right now. You don't want to do that.
Okay, perfect. I'm actually an artist, and my passion is to work with children. I try to use my art to heal them from whatever they're going through. So,
that's your deepness right there. You know, now all you're really looking for is somebody to put a name to it. But what is that? You know what I mean? But you just start studying, well, why do I like doing that? And how does it make me feel? Because that right there is already, you already got your religion. You're good. Mm-hmm. Your religion is art. So you rock that until you outgrow that religion.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Peace.
Peace. All right, we got area code 773. Area code 773, you're on the line. Greetings.
Peace.
773.
Peace, brothers. How are you?
All right, I'm doing well.
Yes, peace to you, Brother Aleem. I haven't talked to you in a minute, but this is the High Priest calling from Chicago, Kemet Grand Temple of Moorish Science.
All right, brother. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Well, I was online. I was just got online, so I didn't get a chance to hear a lot of information this evening. But what I did hear was this, and I want to share a little bit of this just briefly. You know, we are teaching the science of self-mastery. To know oneself, that's true. We should be more teaching that we are all about to lie, we are all set, we are all the gods and goddesses are us.
Right.
In the book Ancient and Modern Man by Henry Franklin on page 299, he states that once you become in your God state, and I'm getting ready to do a video called Ceremonies, Rituals, and I Made for Man. Once you come in your God state, you are the God. You don't need to appease nobody now. You don't know. You don't have to appease the gods anymore. You don't have to call them. You are them. You are the great old ones. So if you're going
right.
to pour libations, for those that pour libations, I always say libate yourself. You are the essence. You are the will. All the gods
right.
are supposed to obey us when we say something. Why are we
right.
now making altar to the gods and praying to them and bowing to them? If we the gods, they're supposed to do what we tell them because it's only your own will. From young archetypes of the mind, is the psyche, is the self. There's no God but ourselves. I mean, even Elijah Muhammad taught that to worship a God outside yourself makes you inferior to that God. So if we're going to teach self-mastery, we should definitely start teaching our people more so about themselves, that they are the gods. There's no more need for rituals and ceremonies, pouring libations.
Well,
no
brother,
need
you
for
guys
that.
Actually broke that information down, brother. He's been breaking that information down throughout the whole show for the last 2.5 hours. He's definitely been going
okay.
in.
I mean, a lot of brothers tomorrow, you got to get this pack, you got to do this, you got
right.
to grab this and grab their pennies and do their egg yolk mm-hmm. and do this and that. Even in, what's his name? Rudolf Steiner's book. Universe, Earth, and Man, it stated that the ancient priest at one time taught the members or the initiates that they look at a triangle, a particular symbol, that this symbol can be done with, it could be a healing symbol, and they would stare at it, and it would activate the symbols that's already in the DNA.
Right.
But there's no need for that now, because all we got to tell you is, and you anyway, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because to continue to pray to the gods and worship these daily urges, you'll be a slave to them. They'll tell you, we'll say your eyebrows off for 6 weeks. And then we'll do something for you. Or do this and that. The essence is already inside of us.
No doubt.
And I've been teaching this like for 22 years, but I'm coming out now, and I'm saying, hey, You ain't got to do all that. That's unnecessary. You're wasting your time and money. A lot of this stuff people call me and say, it don't even work. It's you. You the candle. You the host. We need to do
right.
more now in teachings. Instead of giving them mythology, symbology, and allegory, give them the truth. It's you. It's always been you. You are your own universe. You are the God you've been looking for. There is no Jesus. There is no Allah but you.
Right. Absolutely correct, brother. And as a matter of fact, that's what Brother Yuya has been breaking down. So we appreciate you giving a call in. And I'm going to continue on here. I do have another question. Brother, we went to the phone, you went to the chat room, and the question was asked, what is the chant again for Ogun?
Oh, the Ban Ran Don Don. And matter of fact, I'll split. Is G B A N R A N G A N. Okay, you need me to say it again?
One more time. Yeah.
Sure. G B A N.
G B A N.
Yep. R A N.
Mhm.
G G A N.
Mhm.
D H A N. Okay, that's Bon Ron Don Don. Bon Ron. And that first Bon, you got to say it's a hard consonant. So it's not just like Bon. It's Bon. Bon Ron Don Don. Bon Ron Don Don. Picture like if you was hitting a hammer, first one is going to be the hardest. And then when that iron vibrates, it's going to go down a little bit. So it's bang rang gan dan, bang rang gan dan, and keep saying it until it gets nasally. You know, you're going to keep saying it over and over. And usually you want to chant that for a minimum. Well, I do it for about 50 minutes. But if you could do it for 5 minutes for your first time out, that's good. And it just, you know, build up. And that's to clear the way. You know.
All right. All right. Any closing remarks, brother? We're getting ready to go. And before we go, though, if there's anyone that else wants to call in, just give us a call at 626-414-3535. That's 626-414-3535. But you wanted to sum up the information that you broke down tonight.
Sure. You know, I definitely pretty much in alignment with a lot of the callers. We're sharing with everyone. There are multiple ways to get to where we need to get to. And the Orisha, I have a site by the name of Orisha Religion, orishareligion.com. You can go there for information, readings, classes, things like that. But I will say that the Orisha are formula. It's just that orishaformula.com didn't have the same ring as Orisha Religion, so I went with that. But I have to qualify is that, you know, what we're talking about here is working the different formulas of the cosmos, okay? And there's a comedic proverb that says that when Heru was a child, that the Netcheru looked after Heru. And when Heru became a man, he commanded the Netcheru, okay? So what that's speaking about is you have to mature and raise yourself up to that soul level, to being who you are, that self-defining, self-aware level. And then these same entities that you maybe yesterday had to burn a candle to, they now are bowing at your feet saying, okay, what do you need me to do? Okay,
yeah.
So that's the level you want to get to. You know, out of everything that I said, whether you're working with your Egun or whether you're working with your Odu or whether you're working with the Orisha, you gotta be clear that you're the one walking the planet. You're the one going through the struggle. You're the pilot of the ship calling the shots. You know. So, again, if anyone's interested in classes with me, you can also go to my website, which is saduluhouse.com, which is SADULUHOUSE.com. You can sign up for classes, readings. I also have a blog talk radio show that I do on Fridays around 6:30. By the name of Foundational Fridays, but the name of the channel is Enlightenment and Transformation. So that's blogtalk.com/Enlightenment and Transformation. And my students also host a show every Sunday at 1 p.m. by the name of Anu Asafo, which is an excellent show. So I urge you all, if you want more information on Orisha or just, you know, African occultism, metaphysics, definitely look us up. And you can, you know, I'd love to have you as a student, those of you who are on your way getting there. But that pretty much what I want to say in closing. I appreciate you all having me in this time. Yeah, this has been wonderful and very good questions. And I am a admirer and a supporter of the work that you're doing. You know, so I'm not just coming from a guest perspective, but also a supporter's perspective. You know, so thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Right.
Brother L, is any closing remarks?
Yes, I appreciate the brother coming on the show and enlighten me on a lot of the science that he has been studying. He says for 20 years. And he has shed a lot of light on me on other sciences that we have around the world, you know, the Nigerian, especially dealing with the Nigerian esoteric mysteries. So if he calls it that, I don't know if he calls it that or not. But
it works.
If he don't, you have my apology.
No, that works. That sounds good.
So that's all I have to say on that end.
All right. Beautiful. Thank you.
Also, the caller that just called in, 916, you can actually call back in, and we will get to that question if you have one before we go. Call back in. The number is 626-414-3535. That's 626-414-3535. All right. I'm going to go to a song right quick and see if anybody calls back in with a question. And if not, I'm going to give my closing remarks and then we're going to head on out. All right.
We've only just... Oh, yeah. I like it. Hey, yo, hot tech. Favor, man. Speed it up a little bit. From the intro, you know I'm so influential, cause I'm glowing like a candle. The focus is so essential, dog. What you trying to get into? A steady to flow, ready to blow. Like snotty tissue, they snitching like Donnie Brasco. I'm counting like Monte Cristo. The ghetto full of betrayal, like Iago and Othello. Your fellow neighbor will slay you, they'll smoke you like cigarellos. Police want that info, they'll grill them like portobellos. And murdering instrumentals, cause the rap with the conscience of villains, killers and monsters. So revealing the honors, so still fulfilling the promise. So nice to kill them with kindness. Hitting like Muhammad Ali, you more like Tatiana. All this is probably karma, you dishonored the father. Whether it's God Almighty or the Almighty Dollar, we follow the prophets like Islamics or the Dalai Lama. Your bullet points so hollow they could probably pierce body armor. Look in the scope, my people still in target.
Smile on my face, tears of a sad clown. Feeling out of place as I whistle a cab down. If I tip extra, can I huff a cig? Blow my smoke out the window, dropping ashes on the bridge. I'm in New York now, like Akeem and Simi was. Trying to get the lobby door open from a semi-bus. I just want to go to the slum and throw my money on the floor like the Notorious Bum. Build a home, teach a class, start a revolution. Free the mind, heal the body, talking evolution. This that black Elohim Anunnaki rap. That Farrakhan, Akeem Olajuwon, Gaddafi rap. I dedicate this to my niggas in New Orleans, rocking black and gold stocking caps and fleur-de-lis shocky hats. I'm in the courtroom screaming, who that on the devil? Serving gumbo with a shovel, dog, I'm on another level. Me and Kweli come together like two pieces of metal. We magnetizing the ghetto.
Yeah, now here's the memo. I'm a rebel without a cause, a bezel without no flaws. And shawty, you straight, bet you look way better without no draws. Let's sweat out this alcohol. Yeah. Bet I'm about to ball and never let up. Look how I just crept up without applause. Fed up with all the frauds and left y'all without a job. The center of attention, this is clever. I'm Pau Gasol. Really though, I'm LeBron. Really don't got my mind on this new school of rappers. I would really go Columbine and throw up the diamond sign. Boy, you know I'ma shine. Flow is in Ramadan. Cause couple years ago, the game had they pajamas on. But now they on my dick, man, I should throw a condom on. Hey, cause a nigga coming raw like I ain't got one on. And I ain't stopping nor copping no pleas. I just lock it low, squeeze. Dog, I'm on a higher level, I'm on top of nosebleed. Niggas say they sick, but when they rock, they don't sneeze. Like the nigga on the block waving his glock, but won't squeeze. Please. Hey, what's up?
Hold your applause until the ceremony end. Yours truly, truly best yet again. A noble patented super magic abracadabra kid. Mysterious message in black a pen. Arrowhead with the long barrel stem. And his apparel fresh. Harbor light shining out the black power grid with the black power grip. And pure power don't power drip. Push the cellar ceiling up and make the tower tip. The Gladwell point in the Babylon Palace. All about nothing where it's all about the dollar. And mansions on the fault line of a shaky market. The devil at the dance hall, thirsty for a partner. Get off him. There is not a parcel or a portion or a measure of a fortune more awesome, gorgeous. The funky four horsemen and one more with high tech on the score. Once more, of course, you're welcome. Thanks, appreciation for your participation. Special dedication. Celebration.
Okay, we got area code 864. Area code 864, you're on the line.
Peace, brothers. How y'all doing?
Peace, God. How you doing, brother?
You're doing well,
peace.
Brother.
Great. I'm Michael. I'm calling from South Carolina. I would like to get the spelling of your website again to take classes with you, and can you spell it slowly for me?
Sure, sure. You can go to SaduluHouse.com, and that's SaduluHouse.com.
Okay, hey, I sure appreciate you tonight, brother. I learned a whole lot, and I've been wanting to study, and Brother Aleem, I sure appreciate you for doing what you're doing. Keep up the good work, and appreciate you, brothers, man. Peace.
All right, peace.
Peace. Thank you.
Peace. All right. We thank you, Brother Yuya, once again for coming on. I mean, man, you dropped it, brother. That's all I can say. I mean, you explained it. You know what I'm saying? As clear as anyone that I've heard explain the Orishas, the Ogun, every facet of Yoruba, you know, or Ifa, you know, that I've heard, you know, because I've been studying the information for about 20 years myself. And, you know, and you saying the same thing, that Ori is the highest, is the supreme, you know.
That's right.
And that's essentially what we all have to come to realization, that everything else is a medium to use in its activations of certain components and compartments of the brain, in which that acts in degrees as we gain consciousness or enlightenment or endarkment. You know, so as we get and reach those highest levels, it goes back to like what you were saying, you know, the Ein Sof, the Earth, you know, or the state of Noom or Nu. You know, that's where, you know, the endarkment take place at. So, you know, essentially once we master ourselves, you know, we can reach those higher levels. But until then, there's work in which that we have to do, whether external work in which that reflects the internal work or internal work that reflects as our, you know, external work, as above, so below, as within, so without. So as long as we keep that as the supreme axiom, we never have to get in arguments about this information, because it's all reflective of one another. Mm. You know, it goes back to what you said, too, is that the ancestors are our genes. You know, they're inside of us.
Yes.
You know, and that's one of the things in which that I know, you know, me and Brother Bobby, you know, broke down, you know, some years ago. I mean, I remember when we was on the steps then in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, we was at the Fulton County Library, and he broke that information down at that particular lecture, you know, back in 95. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, once we learn how to, you know, differentiate and discern, you know, this information, that's what also is the gift of discerning the spirits is necessary in order to tell, like you were saying, as far as the difference between just a thought form or actual, you know, ancestor, you know, and the thought form acting as a familiar, acting in place of, you know, just to gain energy or just to gain attention or just, as you were saying, to become activated.
Right.
You know, but it's merely a shell or a disincarnated, spirit or soul, So, I mean, there's a lot to this information, and the clarity was supreme tonight. All right.
Thank
We're going to have to definitely have you back on here, brother, real soon. So you make sure you keep reaching out to me so we can get you back on here.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Please
Anytime.
Do.
Anytime. My pleasure.
All right. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you. And Brother L, we out.
Peace.
All right. Peace.
Holy are you. Holy are you. There is no God
yeah.
but you.
Uh-huh.
There is no God but you.
I need to talk to y'all for a minute.
Praise be the Lord.
Get serious for a minute.
Holy are you. Holy are you.
Why they call me the God MC, the lyricist. Trace this staff to the roots, I'm Genesis. The world wonder, I'm still standing like pyramids. Design so vivid, every brick it got a story to tell. My rhyme flow different like a hieroglyphic. Mind prolific, infinite, like mathematics. The first language, now add that and add graphic. Go ahead, it gon' let the blocks know it's the gospel. Life's new manual, so watch close. The new Michelangelo or Pablo Picasso. Prepare to show you the cosmos and vibe flow. Even my lyrical metaphysical. What this is doing is help you get to your spiritual pinnacle. You find your mind too far fetched for it to fathom. I bring the darkness to the light, split the atom. It's like watching a Big Bang Theory emerge. I take titles, burn them to a billion words. They want a clear view. When the father's in the darkest corners of the universe, to a corner near you. A barrel and ghetto apparel. Stay blamed up, Fort Knox display. A modern day King Tut. Rap tight, rap like I've been preserved in time. Spit the holy water to touch it, to turn it to wine. It's a dog. So we fell from paradise to holy hell. Probably descendants of the Holy Grail. Another part of history they won't reveal. Time to only tell. You waited for judgment. It came in the form of a dove in a game to create its own position. It's blood in my vein. The chemical is identical. We one of the same. With seven letters in all three of my government names. Walk on water, nah, neither to Jesus. It's a parable to make followers and readers believe it's from Egypt to Budapest. Rock him as the truest left. Understand the scriptures like the minister Lewis F. I told you who God is, you ignore me like most of the prophets. Jesus, Solomon, Abraham, Moses, and Muhammad. I sold the scholars, would fulfill the broken promise. I speak the truth to predict the future like no Thomas. Like revelations, I'm hoping my quotes reveal the seven spirits of God when I open the seal. Interpret the Holy Quran. These flows of God translated to raw and decode the Bible. Warn the elders in the mosque, made songs in the laws. The seven churches, the synagogues, it's the Renaissance. Skin of bronze, like the Messiah, rocking with laws. About to reveal a bigger secret in time, men of God.
Holy are you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.